Amen. All right, we'll do that. And you do the same for us. But keep us in your prayer as we lead here at Emmaus. We'd appreciate that. All right, thanks, guys. All right, I'm going to kind of just keep running along here. If you're visiting with us, I want to welcome you. Actually, I'm going to switch mics. All right, I'm Italian, so I got to free up my hands. I talk with my hands. Even when I have nothing to say, I just do that. Let's see, I need my bulletin. All right. All right, well, good morning. If you're visiting with us, my name's Vic. This is Emmaus, and we're kind of laid back here, and this is how we do things, and this is how we roll. Inside your bulletin, there's a little card in there. If you're visiting, if you'd fill that out, in just a minute, we're going to receive the Sunday morning offering. We just want you to sit back and relax during this time, but if you would, fill that out. Let us know that you're here. If you have any prayer requests, you can put that on there, and just drop that in the offering as it goes by. That's all we'd ask of you this morning. And I want to take a moment. We usually pray for another ministry or a congregation in the city during this time. And so as we pray over the offering, as the ushers come forward, I want to pray for Mosaic Church, which is the church that Leonard and a handful of families from our congregation here are starting. And they will have their first service in this building Saturday night, 6 o'clock. So if you want to come out and support them, come on out. But we want to lift them up, ask God to provide for everything they need, to use them to be a beacon of light in our city, and also pray over the offering. So let's pray. Father, we thank you again for another opportunity, just sending some of our own to go and live out the gospel, to lift up Jesus and to see people drawn to you. And so pray for Leonard and his family and God, all that you've called to be a part of this core group. I pray, God, that you would fill them with your spirit, provide for their every need, others who are needed, gifts that are needed. God, all the finances, we pray, would be provided and that you'd use them in a powerful way to reach people in this city. And God, thank you that we could be a part of that. I thank you for each person who is given today, and God, how these resources will be used to advance your kingdom, to be a blessing to many, and that, God, you would bless them and multiply as they give all that they have so they can continue to be a blessing. God, we thank you for it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. With that, a little update. For those of you who were here a couple weeks ago, we received an offering for Mosaic Church, and on that Sunday, we raised just a little bit under $15,000. We rounded that up, so we're sending $15,000 to be a blessing to Mosaic as they get started. So thank you for everyone who gave on that Sunday. We gave the whole offering to them, and then we support them on a monthly basis as well. All right, I have a couple of announcements before we kind of jump into things this morning. If you have third through fifth grade children, you'll notice there was no class this morning, and we apologize for that, but we need some more volunteers in that age group. So for Children's Church, please contact Lori Serber or Shantae McLeod if you're willing to help out with that age range. That class will be opened up next week, but we've just made a decision that we're not going to kill certain volunteers, you know, every week in there, that we all want to do our part. So if you have children who are being served in that area, please serve at least once a month. If you don't and you just love kids and want to be a part of that, that is one group that really could use some help. So if anybody is interested, please stop back there and volunteer to help out with that. We have a meeting for our greeters, the hospitality team, after service next Sunday. And so if you're part of that team, please stay for that. It'll be a brief meeting. If you're not, you want to be a part, find out information, you can contact Pete or Danae, who's right here in the front row. Pete's in the back there. And you can become a part of that team. There's a women's fellowship night on Tuesday, so invite all the ladies to come out and enjoy that time. There's a sign-up sheet out there. They're not quite as excited as the over 50s group, who I understand had a big party. In fact, I was cleaning up. There's beer cans everywhere. No, I'm just kidding. but they did have a big party on Friday night. I heard it was a great time. But ladies, come on out and enjoy that. And anyhow, sorry, I got off track there. Okay, one last thing before we get started. As most of you know who've been here, Leonard, who was doing an internship, is now planting Mosaic Church and stepping out in faith. And we always, as God provides, we try to have somebody who is serving in that capacity in an internship or a residency here. But we don't force that. We wait for God to raise somebody up. And thankfully, timing has worked out just right where he has done that. And so I want to invite up to the stage and introduce to you Chris and Maggie Whitney. Come on up, guys. And yeah, you can clap for them if you want. But this is Chris and Maggie, and I'm going to give Chris the microphone here, and I just want you to meet them, learn a little bit about them. Chris is just going to be serving in an internship where he helps out here. I do whatever I can in our leadership team to help him grow in his walk with Jesus and in his calling. But start off, how long have you guys been hanging out with us here at Emmaus? How long has it been?
We've been here about 8 months. About
Okay, and you guys have been teaching a class on Wednesday nights during the Wednesday Night Life. What's that? What's the class that you guys are doing?
That's it's a marriage group. It's called You and Me Forever is the book. It's by Francis Chan.
Yeah, and it's been the one of the most popular classes on Wednesday, not because of the teaching or anything, but Chris always brings food, and so there's always like pizza or something there, and so there's like I got to clean up the boxes afterwards, but. No, and you're thinking about doing another. You guys are wrapping up here soon. I know you don't. I don't want you to be committed to exactly what you're doing, but maybe share the class you're thinking about doing coming up in the coming weeks on Wednesdays.
Sure. So we've been married 10 years, and through that, we're about 45. And so we knew nothing about finances and stewardship, and so we've been super blessed. And a lot of people kind of mentor us in that capacity. So our next class is going to be specifically in that, in finances and budgeting and stewardship. Like, God has awesome principles, but they're all throughout the Bible. And all we have to do is just, like, he wrote Proverbs as a wisdom book to us, like as a gift by the smartest person who he gave all the wisdom, which was Solomon. And so if you just learn that, if you've never had that before, and if you surround yourself with people on a team that are going in that direction, you can do awesome things. Like, it's crazy. So we're really passionate about that, and hopefully there's some other people that are interested in running in that direction.
Yeah. If there's one thing Chris doesn't lack, it's passion, okay? I've learned that, and he's been hanging out in my small group on Tuesday morning, so it's been great to get to know him. Maybe just share a little bit about your heart, why you just had a desire to even step into something like this. I know we've talked, and you're not sure about church planting per se, but just maybe what God's kind of stirring your heart as far as just feeling calling, anything like that.
We talked about this a little bit, but I was a finance major in college, and then I went into construction and started building and got a contractor's license, and then became a firefighter, and I did that for about 8 years as a firefighter paramedic for the city of Gainesville. And inside of all that, I started reading a lot, and then I thought, well, if I'm reading, I might as well do it for a purpose, so I started getting a master's in theological studies. And honestly, like, the plan never goes the way you thought it'd go. Like, you kind of plot this perfect plan out, and it just kind of keeps going. Like, so we've been married 10 years. We had 4 kids in 3.5 years. So our house is a crazy town. Like, I hope you bring people over, and you're going to see it might be kind of clean the first time. If you come a second time, all bets are off. Like, it's that's what it is. Yeah, but with that, I specifically don't know if I'm called to plant a church. But I do know I'm called in some capacity, and we talked about this. Like, if I can just get people to love Jesus a little bit more today than yesterday, then I'm cool with that. And I don't know what that looks like for everybody, because we're all different. But if I can help with that, then I know there's a purpose inside us to do that. So I couldn't do it. You know, I'm very, again, I love the subject of stewardship and marriage. That's what we've been married class, because marriage is definitely like a fun, right? So you're like, you gotta work on that. I don't have to lie about that. I want my little boy to be a man that grows in a legacy. I want my little girls to be monsters for Jesus. Because, like, I wouldn't be
Awesome. Maggie, I don't want to put you on the spot. So you don't have to share if you don't want to, but if you'd like to.
I remember I read a book by someone. It's Steeple Envy. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks. Well, we're going to trust God to do what he wants to do with this. I feel like part of my job, me and Chris joke around because he is in my group and we've talked a lot. Like part of my role in mentoring him is maybe just slow him down just a little bit, you know? But to be honest with you, as we spend time together, there's a part there that it excites me because I'm like this, if you know me, I'm like this pretty chill kind of guy who goes maybe a little too slow sometimes. So he puts a little fire in me, you know, because he's so fired up. So you'll see if you hang out with him all, he can be over the top about almost anything, you know. But that's good for me because I need that sometimes. And I think we need that because the body of Christ is diverse. Diverse in color, diverse in social status, diverse in gifting. And so I just think it's beautiful when God brings different people together. And that's what it should be when it comes to just representing the body here. So I'm excited for what God has for us, what God has for you guys. And so just join me in praying for them. And you'll get to know them, you know, over the coming weeks, months, and years. And just see what God has for us all. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for this couple. And just thank you that we could walk together. Again, as you said, your family, God, living out with this mission, what you've called us to. I pray that you would continue to just connect them with hearts of other people in this congregation. God, that there would be a give and take here of blessing as they use their gifts to be a blessing to this body and those of us here, Lord, who walk with them and the leaders here to be a blessing to them. And God, that would all be about your purpose, what you want to accomplish, and that you would continue to shape and mold Chris and help him to grow, God, and that he would be all that you desire and all that you created and called him to be. And God, I just thank you for his heart that's surrendered to you. And even though not knowing exactly what that looks like and what that means long term, God, you have a plan. And we just want to walk in that plan. And we know that when we do that, it's a beautiful thing. So we thank you for it. Just pray your blessing on this couple in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, thanks. All right, so a lot going on this morning. I will do my best to get us out of here by about 2. Just kidding, if you're visiting with us. We are in a series called Jesus Changes Everything. And if that's not true, then we might as well just go home right now. Amen. Right? If that's not true, then many of us in this room are living a lie. Later in the service, we're going to share communion together. It's kind of the focal point of what we're going to do today. And if Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, then when we share communion, it's just some religious ritual that we do, okay? It's just some tradition. But if he has, and if he is alive today, then that changes everything. It changes everything about that moment, changes everything about what that means to us, and it changes everything not only in our lives, but in this world. And so if you were here last week, we talked about who we are and what it is that defines us. as individuals, how we, where we find our identity. And people find their identity in so many different things, right? If we're honest, people find their identity in positions and what they do. Some find their identity in possessions and what they own. There's others who allow people to define them. You know, how people view me or what people think about me, that can be where I find try to find significance or my identity. And when our identity is found in anything other than God, we set ourselves up for disappointment and pain, okay? If we are looking to anything other than God himself to meet our needs and to define who we are, then we're going to be set up for failure, for pain, because the reality is everything else will fail us. People will fail us. Have you ever had a person fail you before, right? No one's raising their hand because you're going, yeah, I did that to someone actually, right? I've failed people. We will all. If you put your hope in people, they will fail you. I will fail you. But Christ will not, okay? He will never leave us, never forsake us. And so if you put your hope in people, you'll be disappointed. If you put your hope in material things and stuff, you will be greatly disappointed. Okay, because you can never get enough, right? J.D. Rockefeller was asked, how much money is enough? And what did he say? Just a little bit more. And he was worth the equivalent of $340 billion, right? How much do you need? Just a little bit. $340 billion? Come on, just give me $1 million. You think, I'd be good, right? That's what you think. But if you're looking to that, no, you won't be good because you'll need a little bit more. Why? Because it can never meet our deepest needs. Never, ever. People and stuff, money, can never satisfy us fully. We can only be satisfied in God through Christ. Okay? In John chapter 10, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he's talking about, he's using this illustration, this analogy, that he is the good shepherd. Okay, and he says that he's the good shepherd, and he also calls himself the gate for the sheep, all right, because the shepherd was the one who would protect the sheep, and there was only one way in or out, and the shepherd would essentially be the gate there protecting them. And so in John chapter 10, we're going to read verses 7 to 10 to get started. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Those who enter, okay, through this gate, Jesus says, he'll protect them. He will save them. They will be saved, okay? He defends the sheep. He has the power to save. He says, I'm the gate. All right, but it doesn't end there, okay? Because a lot of times when we talk about the message of the gospel and our need for Jesus, we say, come to Jesus, give your life to Jesus, surrender to Jesus, and if you do this, you will be saved, right? Which is true. But there's more to the message than that. Because that message has this, it's mostly future, right? You will be saved. So when you die, you will be good. All right, but there's more to it because he goes, not only will those who come in through the gate, through me, be saved, he says, they're going to come in and go out and they're going to find pasture, okay? They'll be protected and all their needs will be taken care of. See, that's what a good shepherd does, and that's what Jesus says that he'll do. He goes, before me, everyone who came before me, they were thieves and robbers. They just wanted to take things from you. See, that's when we look to other things for life and fulfillment, usually we're disappointed and it takes life from us rather than gives us life. He goes, everything else, all those other ones, all that other, the stuff that you were looking to, it's like thieves and robbers, they steal life from you, but not Jesus. He goes, I came, now listen, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. All right, so if Jesus is not lying here, all right, if he is being honest, if he came that we might have life and have it to the full, why do we settle for so much less? See, he says that's why he came. It's the very reason that he came, to give us life and to give it to us to the full. So why don't we experience it? Is it something that God has done wrong? I mean, is Jesus going, hey, listen, come to me and I'll give you life. Just come on. And then as soon as we make that step, he's like, just kidding, right? No, that's not God. That's not Jesus at all. Come to me. You'll come in and out and experience pasture. Provision will be given to you. You'll be protected, and you will have life, and you'll have it to the full. So why do so many of us not experience that? I think partly because we come to him for the salvation that he offers, and we receive that, and then once we receive that, even as his followers, even as those who put our trust in him, we start looking to other things to give us fulfillment. Whether it's material things, whether it's people, we look to stuff and to people to fill our greatest need, and only he can fill our greatest need. The message was never just come to me and you will be saved and be able to go to heaven and you'll escape hell. It's not a message of fire insurance, right? It's a message of come to me and you'll receive life, life abundantly. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you, but you need to walk with me and you need to surrender. Each morning, just waking up and realizing that today is a gift from him and it's filled with grace and there's new mercies every morning. And so say, God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for loving me. Fill me with your spirit today. Let me walk with you today. The world just dangles so many carrots in front of us to chase after. God, help me to not chase after those things. I was listening to a message by Francis Chan recently, and he was saying, do you realize every advertisement that's put out, every single one, is really just trying to get you to break one of God's commandments? Every advertisement, the goal of the advertisement is to get you to covet something, right? You don't have this, you need this. In essence, this is gonna do something for you. I mean, you never realized, right? It's like you ever get caught in one of those infomercials? Like, you never realized that your life was empty without the silver bullet, you know, like whatever blender thing, right? I never realized how empty my life was till I got sucked into this infomercial and, man, life could be so much better if you just had, right? And in some weird way, the enemy uses these things and we just get distracted by them. And God's like, come to me for your fulfillment. I'll give you life and I'll give it to you to the full. And then there's all this stuff on earth that you can enjoy in a good way because they don't take that place in your heart that he can only have. He came that we might have life and have it to the full. There's a time where Jesus walks into the synagogue. Everybody's there. And he walks in and he opens up the scroll of Isaiah. I want to read this to you from Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. Because I want us to have an understanding of why he came and that it's much more than just us being saved, okay? Luke 4, 16 to 21. He, being Jesus, went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolls up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Like, I'm the one, right? So let's revisit what he just said. He said that he came and was anointed to proclaim good news to the poor, to those who were marginalized, those who were pushed aside by society. There's good news. You are loved by God just as much as the haves. There are no have-nots in God's kingdom. Good news that those who are spiritually poor, which is all of us, some of us don't realize it, but all of us, that those of us who are spiritually poor, there's good news because there's riches and fullness in Christ if we put our faith and trust in Him. God's grace is for everyone, not just the rich, not just the religious, not just the elite, everyone. God's grace is for us all. And so Jesus died for the poor as much as He did for the rich. So He came to proclaim this good news to the poor, to those who were marginalized. Look what else it says. He was sent to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. Not just those who were in physical prison, but freedom to the prisoners. People who are in a jail of their own making. People who are in a prison in their own soul, enslaved to things like fear, enslaved to things like what other people think about them, enslaved to serving stuff other than God. He goes, I came to set those prisoners free, people who were in a prison of addiction. Jesus came, that's part of the purpose why He came, was to set us free from all of those things. All right? So when He said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full, this is kind of what He's talking about. This stuff doesn't need to control you anymore. I came that you might be set free from those things by His Spirit, that power is there to give us freedom. He came to give sight to the blind. For those who were in need, He came and would bring healing physically. God still does that today. But we have to be in that place where we understand He may not do it every time and He may not do it on our watch. He may not even do it this side of heaven. But the promise is He brings healing. But we have to be of the mindset that Jesus was when He found Himself in the garden begging the Father, if there's any way other than the cross, if there's any way, please take this cup from me. But not my will, but yours be done. Paul had a thorn in his side, Scripture tells us. We don't know exactly what that was. Some thorn in the flesh, it says. A messenger of Satan is what it literally says. And he asked God three times, this is Paul, okay, who he had a healing anointing on him so strong, it says in the book of Acts, that things that he touched and other people touched, they would get healed. I mean, people would actually take, it sounds crazy because it sounds like a televangelist thing, right? But it's not nothing like the way they twist it. But literally stuff like it's a cloth that he had, people would touch it and be healed. Not always. There was times where that healing didn't flow through him, but there are times that certainly it did. So that guy goes to the Father and says, can you remove this thorn from me, this thing? And what does God say? My grace is sufficient for you. Because when we're weak, He's strong. So sometimes that's for our own good. We think, man, the best thing would be for me to get delivered from this, for me to be healed, or for her to get healed. And God says, no, the best thing for my kingdom, and ultimately the best thing for you, is for you to walk through this in a way that honors me and glorifies me. And when you're weak, I can show my strength if you open your heart up to me, right? So He came that we might have life and have it to the full. And I wonder sometimes, why don't we receive this? Why don't we walk in it? Why is it not real for us or not as real as it should be? And I think partially it's because we don't take God at His word and we don't believe it to be true. And that often holds us back. Sometimes it's hard to believe that someone loves you. You know, you ever have a relationship like that where you tell someone you love them and it's just hard for them to receive that? Or someone tells you that and it's hard for you to receive that? Sometimes it's hard to believe that someone loves you, particularly if you have a background with dysfunction in your family. Like my family was crazy. I mean, I tell stories about it sometimes, but it was crazy, really crazy. It's funny because sometimes I'll tell stories because for me, like it was just part of growing up, right? Like, and I tell these stories and I think people are going to laugh and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, like that really happened. Like, and I'm not encouraging this to happen, you know, but like, you know, it was the kind of thing where, I remember one time my mom was doing dishes. I did something to get on her nerves, you know, as kids always do. And I was probably a young teenager. And she was this Italian lady who, for the most part, was a strong woman, okay, a single mom, worked her rear end off to get us, you know, to just provide. But if you push her to the limit, it would just be like she would lose it. So she's washing dishes and tells me to clean my room, whatever she's telling me to do. And I had some smart word for her, right? And she turns around and throws a frying pan, like, toward me. I don't think she was really trying to hit me. She wasn't a good enough aim, and I was pretty quick. Anyhow, so she throws it, and it hits the wall. And when it hits the wall, then it breaks. And then she goes, "You just broke my new frying pan." And I'm like, "I'm out of here," right? Come back at like 8 when things have calmed down a little bit. That was a craziness in my household, and a lot of that was because my dad wasn't there. You know, so my dad wasn't there. My mom worked all the time, so she wasn't there. So then you come and go, "Hey, there's a Father in heaven who loves you completely and fully." And a guy like me goes, "I don't even know what that looks like. First of all, I don't even know what it really means to have a father who's there, let alone one who loves me completely and fully," okay? Anybody tracking with this? Any of us got similar stories? Maybe not quite as crazy, but you know what I'm saying. And so it's hard for us sometimes to believe that we're loved this much by God who created everything. Now, what I want to do is, because we are thick-headed people and our hearts can become callous, we need to hear this over and over again sometimes. And so I want to revisit a passage that we looked at last week because it's one of the most rich passages that talks about God's love for us, okay? So I want to revisit this. I want to walk through this, Ephesians 1, and we're going to look at verses 3 to 8. I'm going to just kind of slowly walk through this. Again, we're leading up to a time we're going to share communion in just a little bit. Paul is writing to a church, okay, in Ephesus. This is the beginning of his letter to them, right after his little greeting. In verse 3, he says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ." Okay, so he doesn't say he gives us many blessings, right? He says he gives us every blessing in the heavenly realms. Another passage says that he gives us everything we need for life and godliness. So all that we need, we have in Jesus. Because we are united with him, we've been talking about this for the last few weeks, when we surrender to God, his spirit comes and lives inside of us, okay? And the spirit of God lives in us, shines through us. He's the one who gives us life, and it's what we have to offer the world. And because of what Christ has done and because of his spirit living inside of us, we have everything we need and we lack nothing spiritually, okay? So he says you've been blessed with everything you could possibly need in the heavenly realms. Look at verse 4. "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure." Now just sit on that for a little while. Okay, before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. Before you could do any good, before you could do anything wrong or anything right, God loved us and he chose us. He created us, okay? And he created us for himself. And, you know, here's the thing. There's times where we go, "Man, I just don't know. If I come to Jesus, I don't know if he'll accept me," right? I mean, you don't know my past, Vic. You don't know my story. I don't know if he'll receive me. I don't know if he'll accept me. Listen, this passage says it's not about him accepting you. He chose you before he created anything. And he chose to give his son to die for you and to die for me before he created anything. So it's not about, will he accept you? It's like, no, he made you and he chose you and he adopted us into his family. Why? Because he loves us and it says it gave him great pleasure. I mean, it's something he wanted to do. And so we sit there and we believe the lie of the devil that tells us God doesn't want you. God can't use you. Remember all that you've done. How can you call yourself a Christian? On and on and on. We hear this and we don't believe the truth from God's word that says, no, you are loved. You're not only accepted, you are my child. I created you to have this relationship with you. It's God. God's pleased. You know, it's like when you think about your kids. This scripture here, it says, not only is God pleased to call us his children, look at what it says in verse 4. God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Okay? You ever meet one of those families where they have just the perfect little children, right? Everything. I mean, they can do no wrong. Now, for most of us, our kids are perfect until they're like 1 year old, right? I mean, when they're one, they're just, you know, by the time they're two, man, they're little sinners, and you see it. I'll never forget. It didn't take too long where I'd go, you know, Victor, don't touch that. Don't touch the TV, you know, and he'd look at the TV, he'd look at me, and you'd say, I'm telling you, don't touch the TV. And he'd get a little closer and like stick his, I mean, come on. I mean, sin in that kid's heart, I mean, they're from the very beginning. He knows, all right? And so we all know our kids aren't perfect, right? But man, when they're babies, when they're one, they can do no wrong. Perfect. God chose us in Christ to be perfect in his sight. Okay? You might be 23 years old and going through a lot of stuff. You might be 45. You might be 65. And you might have a lot of baggage and you might have a lot of stuff. And here's what it says, that God in Christ, when you surrender to him and receive all these spiritual blessings, he sees you as perfect. His perfect child. That's the Bible talking, not just me, okay? So why don't we experience the fullness of all that God has for us? We don't believe it. See, we believe the opinions of other people. We believe what this world tells us. We believe what religion puts on us. Man, you better be a little bit better. If you're a little bit better, then God might accept you. And we get in this old covenant thing where if I love him a little bit more, maybe then he'll bless me over here. And he goes, no, listen. You have every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's all been done. And I see you as perfect because of what he has done. And look at verse 6. So we praise God for the glorious grace he poured out on us, who belong to his dear son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Praise him for his glorious grace that's poured out on us. And he forgave us our sins. Do you believe that? Really, do you believe that? Because I want to ask you, when was the last time that you asked forgiveness for something that you did a year ago, 5 years ago? Why is it that plays back in our mind. We've surrendered to Jesus. We've asked forgiveness. And then all of a sudden, I think I got to ask forgiveness again for something in my life 5 years ago. Because the enemy or someone is telling you that you're not worthy, that you're not loved. Remember what you did. And what we need to do when that happens is you say, no, I remember the cross. Because the cross tells me that I am loved. The cross tells me that I am forgiven. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead gives me life, and now I can live from that life. I don't need to live under that guilt and shame over something that Jesus paid the price for and delivered me from. See, he came to set the captives free, and we keep ourselves bound by all this stuff because we believe the lies of the enemy over the truth of God and the grace of God that he has given us and given us every spiritual blessing. He calls us his children. He chose us. He loved us. Love, period. No strings attached, period. The blood of Jesus sets us free. God did that. It's not something you could do. What we do is we receive that. Say, all right, God, now, by the power of your Spirit, help me to live from that and live for you. Not in some religious way that if I'm a little bit better today, he's going to love me more tomorrow. That's not the way it works. That's the way the world works. That's not the way God works. He loves you today for who you are. He doesn't love you because of who you think you should be. He doesn't love you more when you're having a good day than when you're having a bad day. Jesus died for your good day, and he died for your bad day. When you're having a good day, the temptation there is to take credit for it, right? Look at what I've done. No, I got to say, God, thank you for your grace that I was able to do what I did. When I have a bad day, the problem there is then I'll take credit for what I've done. Man, I've screwed up. God, will you ever accept me? No, listen. It's already taken care of on the cross. Believe it. Receive it. It's for you. Jesus came to set the captives and the prisoners free. In Christ, we're forgiven. We're free. It says in that verse, without fault in his eyes. That's the way God sees us, his perfect children. It's God's plan from the beginning. And I'm going to kind of wrap this up here in just a moment. Actually, Levi, you guys can start making your way up. John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word that John speaks of is Jesus. Last week, we looked at Genesis 1, the creation story. God said, let us make man in our image, plural. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, all present at creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, with God, in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. He was there at creation. Look at verse 14. The Word became flesh, Jesus, and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now look back to verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In him was life. He has life to give. He came that we might have life to the full. That's his desire for us. He has life to give. We need to receive it. Now look at what it says in that in verse 5 there, that light, or that life in verse 4. It's the light of all mankind, and the light shines in the darkness. So he came to give life, and that life was the light of all mankind, and that light would shine in darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. Or the New Living Translation says, the darkness can never extinguish it. He came with life to give. He came that we might have life to the full. The life is the light of all mankind, all of us. We need to receive that light. It sets us free. It's the light that gives us fullness of life that we all need and we long for and we run after in stuff and in people. And so in just a moment, we're going to receive communion. And it's off to either side. Okay, so there's communion table here, over here, and in the back. And if you guys can go ahead and uncover that and get that ready. When we break that bread, we remember his body that was broken for us. When we take that cup, it's his blood that was shed for us, that we might have life and have it to the full. And so here's my question as we lead to this moment. If he came to give us life, if he came to set prisoners free, do you have that life and are you experiencing that freedom? It was all paid for by the blood of Christ. That's why he came. That's what he wanted to do. It's what he wants for every one of us, to experience life to the full, to be set free from the things that hold us prisoner. Fear, addiction, anxiety, physical ailments that we need healed from and set free. He's given us every spiritual blessing. Are we receiving that? So what I want to ask you to do, if you'd stand with me. We're going to sing this song. And I ask that this song would just be your prayer. The song is, I need you more. And if we're all honest, we all need more of him. But there's some of us in here, if we go, hey, I'm not experiencing that fullness, and I want that fullness. I'm not experiencing that freedom, and I want that freedom. What we're going to do is we're going to sing this song. And it's while we're singing this song, as you feel led, you can come up to the communion tables and receive communion. But also, we're going to have some of our leadership team down here. And if some of the wives want to join, we're going to be down here in the center. And if you just want someone to pray for you, say, man, I just need someone to stand with me. I want to experience more of the fullness of God. I need to be free from this area. It's something that just continues to hinder me and haunt me. Then we'll just stand here, just as broken vessels, but standing together and asking God's Spirit to flow in us and through us, just to set us free, to give us that fullness, whatever you might need. So I'm going to ask the leadership team guys and any of the wives who want to come up right now, come up here in front now. And everyone's looking at me like, now? Yeah, now. And so if you want prayer, just come up and we'll pray for you. Communion's on either side and in the back. Go to the tables, go with friends, go with family, receive communion, but let this song be your prayer. And let's believe God to do what he says he'll do. God, thank you that you came to give us life and to give it to us to the full. God, forgive us for the times we believe the lies of the enemy over your truth. Forgive us for allowing condemnation to set in and God, not believing the truth that we are forgiven and set free in Christ. God, forgive us for the times when we go back to those things that